Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. We want to be a place where you can own your faith and take next steps in your relationship with Jesus. Maybe your next step is to seek out a community and join a movement group. Maybe it's supporting movement financially for the first time or using your gifts on a volunteer team. Whatever God is calling you to do, our prayer is that you will step out in faith and let Him lead you. For more information about your next step, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
Hey, good morning. Good to be back together after a couple of weeks off. I know that some of you have been out of school, been off work, and our home kind of runs with the school schedule, so we just kind of shut everything down. I've been wearing sweatpants for like 19 straight days. This is the first time I've showered in a couple weeks, and so it's good to be around adults and not have someone wiping egg salad on my arms or anything like that. That's been the last couple of weeks for us through vacation. So if you've been working for a while and wondering why people like me have been just MIA in life, that's why. But I hope that this week we can all get back on a real schedule and go to school and have a job and do some normal stuff like that. All right. So it was a good time with family. Like most people, we've been doing the things that most families are doing. Half of our family's been sick like every 5 days. So we've had it like a couple times in our home. It's been wonderful. And we've just been spending time together doing fun stuff and hanging out. Got a chance to go ice skating. And my one son decided that he liked ice skating so much that he begged me to go again, and I threw my back out. So when I say Happy New Year, guys, I mean it, okay? Happy New Year, and I'm never going ice skating again, okay? So we've just been maintaining life around our house, and I'm the guy that takes the tree down like a few days after Christmas because I'm just like, we need to clean this place, we need to get organized, we need to really lock things down and get this family together. And so we did that, and then everyone blames me for being Scrooge and all that fun stuff, but I love to just clean things up, get organized after the holidays, and so we did that, and I feel better, and that's what matters in life. Okay, so I feel better. It's good, but you probably know I make fun of myself all the time that I love organization. I love cleaning stuff, and that's really sad for a guy to admit, but that's where I'm at in life. All right, so when things end up like disorganized at our house, it kind of bothers me. And some of you have met my wife, and there are moments in our marriage where we're not connecting the best because sometimes she loses stuff. So I mentioned some of these things before. Currently, it's her phone. It seems to be like that thing in her life. Previously in our life, it was her purse. There were moments early in our marriage that I found her purse in the fridge, like top shelf, and it would just be chilling there. And I would say, hey, have you seen your purse? And she would say, no, I had it last night. She didn't even know it was lost. I'm like, well, it's next to the grapes. So she's always been a person that's kind of lost stuff. And sometimes when I'm teasing her, she's not here for first service, so it's okay, guys. Sometimes when I'm teasing her, it's not going great. So, but she's had this thing the last couple years. She's been losing her phone a lot. One time she left her phone laying in a parking lot, and she couldn't call me and tell me. And one of our kids was napping, but she like emailed me and said, hey, I need you to go to the Y. My phone will be laying out in the parking lot next to this space. I'm sure I dropped it there. And I was like, it's raining right now. And she's like, yeah, you need to go quick. You need to go get my phone right now. And so I went and I got her phone, and it was exactly where she told me it would be. And I was like, this is really weird, but okay. She's dropped her phone like inside the frame of our couch. We've had to like take it apart to get it out and do some different things. And one time my mother-in-law was like, hey, Kristen's kind of losing some stuff. Maybe I can help with that. I want to get you one of those things you can put on your keys. We can kind of trace where her phone is. And I was like, awesome. And so she bought her one of those last year for Christmas. But Kristen lost her phone on Christmas Eve. And so we didn't know where her phone was to put the tile on. It took like 8 hours to find her phone. And then I got the tile on it, and that was awesome. Recently the battery went dead on the tile, and so my life began to get complicated again. And so this year her mom was like, we've got the cure all. And she bought her this like phone case that's also a purse. And so last week, before we could get that out of the casing, Kristen lost her phone 3 times before lunch. But once we got it out, she's been wearing her phone for like the last 10 days, and our marriage is going really well. So thanks for praying. Thanks for asking, guys. But there seems to be a recurring theme in our house that When things are lost, it's a big deal. When things are lost, we're kind of fighting. And I'm sure that you've lost something in some way. Maybe it was a Christmas present. Maybe it was something else. But that's what we want to talk about today, is this concept of things being lost. Because some people have different attitudes when things are lost. Some people are like, it's not a big deal. I'll find it. Some people are like me and have a problem. And they need to go to counseling over that. But some of us, we freak out when things are lost, and it's a huge deal. And as we address this topic this morning, we said that we're entering a new series. This series is called Next Steps. And next steps are what we always say that we want to be continually taking as believers, as a church. We know that there's a moment that people find a relationship with Jesus, but we want to continue to make decisions and take steps to be more like him today and tomorrow than we were yesterday. And if we look at the stats of Movement Church, if we look at kind of the makeup of where we are, we started 6 years ago. And a couple of years ago, we sent away our first church plant. We sent a team of people over to the west side, and it kind of changed the scope of who we are and some of our leadership, and kind of gave us a relaunch in some ways. And so if I look at the stats and who Movement Church is right now, we know that probably 1 in 3 people have been here less than a year. And we have a lot of people in leadership. We have a lot of people that we're depending on, a lot of people who call Movement home, who are still figuring out, all right, what does this look like for me to be involved here? What does it look like for me to lead here? And so this conversation, this series, is really just us asking, all right, what are some things that we want to be in our DNA again? What are some things that we think we need to focus on and think about as leaders and as a corporate entity, as a church? What are some things that we want to focus on? And so this is a conversation of just some things that we think we need to be doing to prepare for the next stage. We think that, and we know that God has some big things around the corner for us in these next couple years. And just like you train for a race, just like you prepare for an event, we want to push ourselves to depend on God. We want to push ourselves in faith, and we want to push ourselves to take next steps as a church as we prepare for this next phase. And so this morning we want to talk about this concept of things being lost. We want to talk about this concept of caring for people who are lost and caring for people as we share our faith with them. And maybe you know the word evangelism, maybe you don't. But I want to invite you to turn to a passage in your Bible this morning. If you brought a Bible, you can pull that out. If not, there's one under your chair, beside your chair, around your chair, somewhere there on the floor you'll see a Bible. And if you do not have a copy of God's word, that Bible is our gift to you. We would love nothing more than for you to take that home and have that to read and study and grow. We're going to be in Luke chapter 15, verse 1 on page 797. Luke chapter 15, verse 1, page 797. And in this passage, we're just going to be talking about this concept of things being lost and people being lost and what our attitude should be, what our approach should be, and what we should do as a church when we know that people are lost. And so Luke chapter 15, verse 1, page 797, it starts out telling some parables here. Parables are just stories that Jesus would tell to illustrate a point. So verse 1 says this, it's the parable of the lost sheep. It says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Verse 8 continues on into a new story, the parable of the lost coin. It says this, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. It goes on in verse 11, still to a third story. It says this, maybe you know some of these other stories, maybe you know this one. It's called the parable of the lost son. Verse 11, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had 2 sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and is now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found.' So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son in the fields was working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants what was going on. 'Your brother is back,' he was told, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return.' The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. But he replied, 'All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, and you celebrate by killing the fattened calf.' His father said to him, 'Look, dear son, you have always stayed with me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found.'" Most of us know that one of the best ways that Jesus would communicate truth was to teach through parables, to teach through stories that would illustrate a point. This is the only time in Scripture that he told three stories, three parables, back to back to back to make a point and to make that point greater and to make that point even greater. It's like when over the holidays, I would tell my kids, "Hey guys, let's put the iPads away and let's just hang out as a family. Guys, let's put the iPads away and just hang out as a family. Can you turn off?" Right? There's moments as a father, you just have to say, "Hey, trying to make a point. No, I'm really trying to make a point right now. If everyone would listen to me, there's something that I want to say." And this seems to be one of those moments that Jesus was saying, "Hey, it's me. There's something I want you to know, and you're not getting it. Okay, let me tell it another way." Still not connecting. Maybe I'm not seeing that look on your faces. Let me say this story one more time. Let me stretch it out a little longer. Let me make my point. Luke 15 is that moment where Jesus tells these parables back to back to back because this matters, because he wants this point to be made, and he wants his disciples and those who are following him to register and to understand exactly what he's saying. And these three stories have some common things that they share. In every story, we see something was lost. Now, maybe you're thinking, "Yeah, but it was a sheep, so who would even care if you lost a sheep, right?" Or maybe you're looking at the next story and you're like, "All right, a coin, I can understand that. That's some money. Yeah, I've lost some money before." Let me tell you another story from my marriage this week, guys, before my wife gets to church and I get in trouble, okay? We had some money that my grandma gave the kids for Christmas, and we got home, we were putting gifts away, and I said, "Where's that money at?" And she said, "I don't know." And I said, "What do you mean you don't know?" And I got really nervous, right? And she's like, "It'll turn up. It's in the stuff." And I was like, "No, I need to look for it right now." And I couldn't find it. And then later on, she's like, "See, I told you it would turn up." She just found it in a box. And she acted like she knew that the whole time. But sometimes when something is lost, it's a big deal. And that's what we see in these stories, that it seems to be this big deal, right? They're not taking a passive attitude. When people are losing money, they're tearing the house apart and they're saying, "Where is this money?" When this guy lost a sheep, he's like, "Yeah, I've got some others, but where's my sheep?" And when this man lost his son, he was looking around and he's saying, "Man, my life's not right." And so when all of these people found whatever was missing in their story, they celebrated, right? A party was thrown. They told their family. They told their friends. They hadn't taken a passive attitude. And even still, when they found it, they celebrated. They made a big deal out of it. We're not talking this morning about sheep, and we're not talking about coins, and we're not talking about your son who ran off. At least I don't think we are. We're talking about people. Those of us who have given our lives to Jesus, those of us who have been found in him would know that the gospel is our anchor, that the gospel is our everything, that a relationship with Jesus is our identity, and that's who we are found in this morning. And when we look at the world, when we look at the people that we live with, the people that we work with, the people that we share life with, I'm sure that it doesn't take very long for you to start thinking about people in your life that you would say, man, that person is lost. They do not know Jesus. They do not have a relationship with Jesus. I'm sure you can think of someone in your life right now who's lost. Someone who doesn't know Jesus, someone who doesn't know that no matter how far they've run away, no matter where they've gone, no matter what they've done, he's still going to run to them like the father in that third story, that he still gave his life on the cross for the sins and whatever they've committed, whatever they've done, and that he wants to know them, he wants to have a relationship with them, and he wants to be with them for eternity. But there are people in our lives that do not know that. And sometimes we go about life and we don't remember that. Sometimes we go about life and we forget things. And sometimes we're thinking of ourselves and we're thinking of comfort and we're thinking of downtime. We're thinking of vacation time. We're thinking of New Year's and goals and a lot of good things. And sometimes we just lose sight of lost people. Sometimes we forget that there are people who lack purpose. We forget that there are people who can't answer the question, what's your eternity going to look like? There are people who can't answer the question, what's the secret to life? There are people who can't answer the question, what is life all about? There are people who, if you could get them to slow down and think and be honest and really get serious, if you were to talk to them one-on-one and say, where's your life at? They would look you in the eyes and they would say, I don't know. I don't know what the purpose of life is. I don't know where my life is going. I don't know where I'm going as a person. I feel lost in school. I feel lost in my career. I feel lost in my marriage. I feel lost in everything because I'm lost. And I try to do good things and I wander through life, but I'm lost. Some of us have been found so long. We've known Jesus for so long. We've been a Christ follower. We've grown up in church. We've been in small groups and Bible studies and campus ministries. And our grandma shared with us when we were a small child. And we've been found since we were five. And so we look at people that are lost and we just think like, well, they need to wake up or they need to do something. And the reality is that those of us who are found, those of us who know Jesus, those of us who have a relationship with Jesus should have a burden for lost people and for a lost world. Those of us who are found in Jesus, those of us who have a relationship with Jesus should look upon people who are lost and we should have compassion. It should eat us alive. It should bother us when we lay our heads down at night because we know people who are lost and we've been found. So I look at these three stories and I look at something that I think would be just a great reminder for us as a church and as leadership as we walk into the next season and as we walk into this next year. And I want you to know this, that found people find people. If you've been found, it's our job to turn around to the world and say, all right, I now know what's going on. I know the answer. I know the cure. Who's lost? Who doesn't have purpose? Who doesn't know Jesus? Who doesn't know the point of eternity? Who doesn't know where they're going when they die? Who does not have a relationship with Jesus? And what can I do about that? Found people find people. A couple of years ago, my movement group went to a corn maze. I don't know if I should say this, but I don't like corn mazes. I like my group. I don't like corn mazes, right? And we went to one, and corn mazes either go one of two ways, where it's like you get out in like 6 minutes, and you're like, who built this maze? I'm so awesome. This is stupid, right? Or like it went that night, we were lost in there for like 2.5 hours, right? And we were wondering if we were ever going to have food and water again. And that was just the way it was going that night, right? And so at the very end of this corn maze, you're like, wait, what do you mean the end? I thought you didn't get out. We didn't. At the time that this place was closed, closing, and they have to make sure that they don't leave people in there all night to be starved, right? They get up on this really high balcony and like shine a light out over, and they're like, "Hey, everybody, we're closing in 5 minutes." And this guy who works in the maze every day and can see the whole thing was just like, "Hey, just follow my flashlight. You're just gonna wanna go right there and then take a left and a right." And he guides us out in like 2 minutes, right? All of us who'd been wandering around for a half an hour and starting to fight a little bit and wonder if we were ever gonna talk to each other again. And he's like, no, I can see it. I know the way. You just go down here and go over there." And those of us who have been found, those of us who know the secret to life, those of us who have a relationship with Jesus have to look back on people who would still describe themselves as lost. And we have to say, "Hey, I'm not trying to judge you. I'm not saying what you did was wrong. I want you to just know that I found a way out. I have found Jesus. I have found rest in relationship with him. And I want to tell you what has worked for me. And I want to give you some instructions. Let me show you the way out." Found people find people because they are grateful to be found. When Jesus has changed your life and changed your heart and changed your identity and changed who you are and changed how you function as a person, you should look back, not in a judgmental way, but in a way that just says, "I've been found and I want those who are still lost to be found. I want to show them the way out. I want to show them what they were created for. I want to show them what it looks like to know Jesus, and I want them to know him." Found people find people. That sounds really good, right? Kind of rolls off the tongue. We could print church t-shirts and say that, and it would be awesome, but it's not the reality, right? I know what it's like to grow up in a Christian home, and I know what it's like to sometimes feel insulated by the church, and sometimes we focus so much on hanging out with good people and having good influences in our life and focusing on spiritual growth and development and discipleship and taking steps that we think, like, "I have one more person I need to disciple and one more workbook I need to fill out and one more person I need to meet with and do accountability with and one more person that's apprenticing under me and someone that I'm working with and someone that I want to talk to and pray with and encourage." And you can go months, days or weeks, and you look back and you think, "Man, I'm found, but I haven't cared about someone who's lost. I haven't had a heart for someone who's lost. I haven't shown compassion for someone who's lost in a long time." I want us to look at one more passage. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want. It's Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. It's on page 735, but let me just read a few verses to you. Because this is when Jesus really, really boiled down. This is what it looks like to follow him. When he asked his disciples to follow him, this is simply what we see. Matthew 4:18, it says, "One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, 'Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people.' And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, they saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets, and he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind." And maybe you know that passage. Maybe you're comfortable with that passage. We've looked at that passage before, and there have been moments we've focused on that as a church, but I wanted to highlight that today because we've already said that found people find people. And we know that should be our heart, that should be our heartbeat, that should be our focus, that should be who we are, because we are found in Jesus, and we can look back and see people who are still lost, and we should have a heart and compassion for people who are lost and who are without Jesus. And yet Jesus says, "Come and follow me," but he doesn't stop there. He doesn't say, "Come and follow me and I'll give you a really cool church t-shirt." He doesn't say, "Come and follow me and we'll get you in a group." And we know that those things aren't bad. And maybe they did some of those things, right? But he says, "Come and follow me and I will show you how to fish for people." Almost equating in one sentence there that following him cannot be separated from fishing for people. Following Jesus cannot be separated from sharing the gospel, sharing life, and sharing what it means to have a relationship with him. They are one in the same. You cannot follow Jesus without sharing the gospel and sharing life with the world around you and sharing with your friends. And yet every day, as modern American Christians, we try to figure out a way to do that, don't we? I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna read the Bible, and that's wonderful for us. And I'm gonna listen to this Christian station on the way to work so that I feel inspired and great, and I'm gonna pray at my desk over lunch, and I'm going to text some people from my church that I know, and tonight we're going to have this young couple over for dinner because we want to invest in them, right? And we can do a lot of good things, things that are biblical, things that have value, and yet sometimes we lose sight of our purpose. Following Jesus means that we will have an attitude that says, I am found and I want others to be found, right? Found people find people, but Jesus also tells us this in this passage, that following him equals fishing. You cannot follow Jesus and not be a fisher of men, a fisher of people. It's not possible. And when we try to separate them, we're changing what it means to follow Jesus. We're diluting what it means to follow Jesus. We're saying, yeah, I know what you've called me to, Jesus. I know what you want me to do, but this is how I'm going to follow you. I'm just going to kind of walk after you a little bit and really change my job description and do what I want. And Jesus is saying, to be a follower of mine. He said it from the beginning and he reminds us all the time, you have to be a fisher of people. Following me equals fishing. Now in scripture, God often uses this imagery of farming as he talks about fishing for men, fishing for people. We're given the imagery of farming because there are moments that we're finding seeds, we're planting seeds, we're watering seeds, we're harvesting seeds. There are different moments and different phases for evangelism. So I'm not saying that you should be a really quick farmer, right? That you should be able to plant a seed and you should be able to harvest that thing about an hour later. You should be able to just plant this seed and then, pops an oak tree and here we go. Let's take that oak tree and make some more trees. I'm not saying that you have to be fake, that you have to rush the timeline in people's lives. I'm not saying that you have to be good at every phase of farming or anything like that. I'm not saying that we ignore the natural processes of farming and the imagery that we often see in scripture. But what I'm saying is that we have to have a heart for people who are lost, a continuous heart for people who are lost. And some of us often think like, well, yeah, I'm not really an evangelist though, right? A great Christian word. And we know people who travel the country and share their faith and they lead 100 people to the Lord every day. Or I know a guy I work with who's always passing out these little pamphlet things and he's sharing his faith and telling his story. And that's not who I am. I'm more of a discipler and I'm more of someone that loves to just hang out over fire and talk to people and ask how you are. And I don't see in scripture where Jesus says, hey, if this fits your schedule, maybe you could do this, right? He didn't say to the disciples, hey, some of you are going to be gifted in fishing for men. And so if that works out with your personality, maybe those of you who can do that will do that, right? Yes, we know that there are people who are gifted in evangelism and gifted in sharing the gospel and gifted in sharing their faith, and they see people respond. And yet, scripturally, I don't see where Jesus said, hey, if this fits your schedule or fits your gifting or fits what you've got going on this week, maybe you can have a heart for people who are lost. There are certainly people who are gifted and who can go above and beyond and who excel at this, but it seems to be something that we're all asked to do because following Jesus equals fishing for people. They are one and the same. And so we have to have a heart for lost people. We have to have a heart for a lost world. And we have to care about people who are confused by eternity. We've been in some different seasons as a church. We recently started 2 services this last fall. And I love what God has done in this last season. There are more people serving, more adults serving in Movement Church right now, maybe you've heard the stat, than attended like 18 months ago. In a wonderful way, as we sent many leaders away for a church plan and we went to 2 services, we saw a vacuum created where a lot of new people could say, you know what, I have this gift and I want to use this gift. And so many of you are sitting here right now and you're thinking like, hey, I kind of like this place. And I've been serving in Movement Kids, I've been working with First Impressions, I've been in the band or doing some tech stuff, I'm in a movement group, I feel like I've really found my home. And that's fine, those are great things. But something that I think we have to be aware of as we approach this new year is that following Jesus means that we care about lost people, and following Jesus means that we care about fishing. And so there are some things that we track many weeks. We track how many people are here. We track how many people register as a VIP. And I think that sometimes those things kind of say, hey, people are inviting their friends. People are sharing the gospel with their friends. People are having spiritual conversations. And we're seeing new people, curious people, people who are searching, show up for services. We're seeing people that are wanting to figure out where they are with Jesus and figure out their spiritual life. We're seeing them migrate to services and just ask questions. And over this last season, we've seen some wonderful success in people serving. And some of those other things, as you would expect with the pendulum swing, have been down a little bit. And that's fine. That's fine, because we knew that we needed to grow as a church. And we wanted to ask people to take the step of using their gifts and serving. And now we're in that season of pendulum swing where we would say we've grown, we're comfortable, we're established, we're in this rhythm of two services. We want to see that continue, and we want to see that spiritual discipline build up. But I think for these next months and this next semester and this next year, the thing that we have to think about, we have to let be our heartbeat, is that we have to care about lost people. When you're out in your neighborhood and you're walking, you're talking, you're visiting with people, you have to be thinking, who doesn't know Jesus? Not that this is about you, not that this is about checking that off your list, not that this is about some shopping list or, oh, I got to do this. Because you care about people who are lost and you want to share the gospel with them. And when you're at a PTO meeting, you're thinking, how can I live on mission and share my faith here? How can I have spiritual conversations and communicate the gospel? And when you're at a dorm meeting, you're thinking, how can I share my faith? How can I communicate the gospel? And when at your full-time job, you're thinking the same thing. And when you're at your part-time job, you're thinking the same thing. And when you're hanging out with your friends, when you're out for a beer, when you're just living life, you're thinking, how can I communicate the gospel? And how can I share my faith right now in this moment? Because found people find people, and following equals fishing. And we know that that's the heartbeat of Scripture and the heartbeat of everything that Jesus taught us. And so we need to make that the heartbeat of our lives. One of the best ways that a mentor invested this into me, he used to always ask me in college, he would just say, who are the three people that you're targeting right now? Who are three people that you're trying to share your faith with? Who are three people that you're trying to be intentional with? Who are three people that you're trying to pray for and just make sure that you can share the gospel? Because obviously we all want to just share the gospel with everyone, right? Just walk into work and be like, hey, all you people, let me tell you about Jesus. But that doesn't really work too well, right? And so there's people that you have a relationship with. There's people that you're close to. There's people that you know, and people that you eat lunch with often, people that you're having spiritual conversations with, people that you spend time with their family, and there's people that are in your inner circle, people that you know are lost and people that you know are searching. And so I want to ask you, who are those three people? Who are those three people? For me right now, it's three people that live right around our house. People that I talk to when I'm mowing the yard, and people that come over to our house all the time, and people that our kids play together, and people that we're getting to know because they just moved in. And I know that these people do not know Jesus. And I want them to know Jesus. They're my target three. They're people that I'm praying for, people that I have a heart for, and people that I want to live on mission and communicate the gospel to. And I don't know if I'm planting the seed or watering the seed. And I don't know if they're going to come to know Jesus and come running toward me and give me a hug one day, or if that's going to be a five-year thing. But I'm praying for those people, and my mind is focused on those people, because I know that those people need Jesus. And he wants to give them life and hope. We've talked a lot today about the gospel. And we read this story of a lost son. And I know that there's probably someone in this room who's thinking like, yeah, I don't really know Jesus, and I don't know the gospel, and I don't know if I'm found or following or fishing. And man, there's a lot of words that are alliteration today, right? It's a little confusing, Mark. Thanks for doing that. But maybe you would say that your story describes the story of that son who ran away from his father and did what he wanted to do and then looked back and thought, man, I need to go home. I need to run back to my father. When we're saying that we can be found in Jesus and we can have a relationship and a life with Jesus, it's simply just a moment where we repent and we realize that we've been doing our own thing and sinning and running away from God. And we can look back and say, my life is nothing without God. I'm lost without God, and I want a relationship with him. Jesus came and gave his life and died on the cross to pay the price for all the bad stuff we've done and all the ways that we've run away from God, so that we can go back and we can know our Father and we can have a relationship with God the Father. And we can be found in him. So if you want to have a relationship with your Heavenly Father today, you can do that because of the sacrifice of Jesus. We would love to talk to you at the Next Steps table. I would love to talk to you about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, what it means to run into the loving and open arms of our Father. If you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father, if you ran into His arms years ago or months ago or weeks ago, as that video we saw, I want you to know that your heartbeat should be to pass on the gospel, to share the gospel, to communicate the gospel at work, at home, with your kids, with your family, with your parents, with the people that are in your life. Found people, find people, and following Jesus cannot be separated from fishing. And so we need to have a heartbeat that shares the gospel. As a church, as leaders in this next season, this is what God is calling us to, because we want to be people who share hope with the world. And we have hope. It would be selfish to keep that hope to ourselves. We've got to pay that forward and pass that on. Let's be people who share the gospel and communicate the gospel to a lost world around us. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus. We thank you so much for the purpose that can be found in Him and the hope that can be found in Him. And Lord, we just want to say thank you. God, we want to be people who care for the world, who care for people who are lost, who care for lost things. We want to have an outlook that's like a first responder. Lord, we want to do whatever we can to take hope and to take the gospel to the world. Lord, sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we make excuses. Sometimes we say, that's not my gifting. It's not my thing. It's not who I am. It's not where I'm at. It doesn't fit right now. And Lord, the pattern that we see in Scripture is that we are called to bring hope to the world. We are called to share the gospel with the world, and we want to do that at all costs. And so, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to be people who are concerned about our friends and family that are lost, who are upset about our friends and family who are lost, and who want to do whatever we can to share the gospel, to see them know you, to see them call Jesus their Lord. So God, bring three people to mind. Help us to have a list of family and friends and acquaintances and contacts that we're praying for, that we're targeting, that we're spending time with, that we're having conversations with. Help us, remind us of that truth, and help us be in the gaps in the ways that we fall short and can't do that. And God, we thank you so much for this reminder. Thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus. Thank you so much that you're our Heavenly Father. We can run to your arms and we can help others do the same. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Movement Church podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. We hope wherever you are, this message encourages you to take the next step in your relationship with Jesus. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.